morning and welcome to The Breakfast Show with Kathy and Lawson on Faith FM.
You're listening right across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, wherever you are on the Faith FM network.
This is the best table to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. And I am here in the studio today with Lawson sitting across from me.
Yeah,
good
buddy.
Morning, Lawson.
Come on.
Producer Shell wearing a blue denim. What is that? Is a dress?
Plaid. Okay. Well, yeah, I got a denim then, dress on and a plaid.
And a plaid.
Jacket.
So your Shell is very
jacket.
Blue
that
today.
Looks like a flanno to me.
That's right.
Yeah, it's, flanno. It is
flanno. There you go. So very American style. And speaking of American, we are overrun today by Americans because we have two people, two very special guests here with us on the studio. Let me introduce them to you. One of them is Wes. Good morning,
Good
Wes.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah.
All right. I think that your microphone was not quite up. Let's try it again.
Oh, good morning. Great to be here.
Okay. I think that Producer Shell is censoring Wes for some good reason, perhaps. Producer Shell, is that some rife from the past that is just surfacing now here and you're canceling your cousin? Is that what's going on?
How's that?
Yep.
Oh,
is that better?
There we go.
Oh, good morning. I was unplugged. Apparently, the cord has to be plugged into the microphone.
Look, yeah. I have a secret theory that Producer Shell didn't want you to say. You know, perhaps compromising things about her past. Just so you know.
I think it's the fact that maybe I was stepping on the cord when I lifted the microphone to my mouth, and then you can't unplug it.
He's a good cousin. I'm trying to instigate him against you, Producer Shell.
No, it's not going to work.
He'll not bail. And, of course, we have Janelle here. This is Wes's better half on the other side of the studio here. Good morning to you, Janelle.
Good morning.
Very good. Well, it's great. Janelle and Wes are going to share a little bit of their story with us. And they're going to interact with us. They're going to participate, be a part of this show. Not unlike you, radio friend, we also want you to be a part of this show. So you can text us your messages, your questions, your comments, your opinions, anything to 0491-064-669, including Lawson. We're going to be talking about this show, a lot of things today, including about the new Pope. We have a new Pope.
Abemos
Papam, American Pope. Do you know how popes choose their names?
I have no idea.
And do you know what the name chosen for this current Pope means potentially?
I know what it is. I'm not sure what it means, but
we're going to explore all of that today. We're going to talk about all of these very interesting things.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Now the time for the quiz question. Actually, I want to change the order of factors here, Lawson.
Okay, what are we doing
before we do the quiz question? Let us talk about the book.
All right.
Okay, I'm holding here a book. It's called God for Us According to John by James Gilley. This is the second book of Jim Gilley on the Gospel of John, and it's a commentary on the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. Particularly here, it's talking about the second half of the Gospel of John. So if you'd like to, and let me tell you this, the Gospel of John is so interesting. The first half of the Gospel of John, from chapters 1 to about chapter 12, it's covering 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. It goes through like a, you know, a big picture, a lot of different teachings. The second half, the second 50% of the book, Lawson, is Jesus' final week. Mm. So the book like zooms over and follows the footsteps of Jesus almost like moment by moment, step by step, everything that happened, every word, every step that he took. Mm. So leading up to Jesus's hour or to Jesus's glory, which in all the other gospels are, you know, the glory of God is connected to his supernatural light and beauty and splendor and power. In the Gospel of John, glory is primarily used to reflect Jesus' crucifixion, his character. So, if you'd like to learn more about the Gospel of John, if you want to spend some time contemplating the final moments of the life of Jesus, this book is going to be the right one for you. It's going to inspire your life. It's going to shape help to shape what happened in the last week of Jesus, and that's going to be a big blessing to you.
100%. Guys, 0491-064-669 is the code word, and hashtag God for us. Sorry, that was the number. Hashtag God for us is the code word. If you receive this one absolutely for free, we'll give it to you. You will be blessed. All right, Producer Shell, what was that quiz question?
Quiz for today. Number one, which mountain did Moses ascend to view the promised land before he died?
Which mountain did Moses ascend to view the promised land before he died? Which mountain did Moses ascend to view the promised land
before he died? I know this one.
You know this one?
I do know this one.
Why, are you reading it right now?
No. Mm. I have a relationship with that passage. That's why.
I'm going to say this.
Well done.
I gotta say this.
No,
I'm wrong.
Not okay. Correct.
Yeah, I would have got it wrong. I know that.
Yeah.
So I didn't write down.
That's right.
Bro, that was that one, like, theologically speaking, that one that you said, why did you choose that one specifically?
I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to disclose.
Okay.
Yeah. You're going to end up giving it away.
Because look, this is the thing. I am yet to see someone, and I'm pretty sure that someone sometime did, but I'm yet to listen to a nice sermon about the different mounts of the Bible, their names, and what happened in each, because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
But theologically speaking, I think that it would be very hard for God to have chosen the mount that you mentioned, Lawson, for the death of Moses.
Okay. Theologically or geologically?
Both.
Okay, well... Sweet. You're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith
FM. Yeah, the number here is 0491-064-669 for you to be able to text in your answer. We would love for you to play along with us. And yeah, that question one more time. Which mountain did Moses ascend to view the promised land before he died?
Yeah. Mm. One of the reasons that I know these mounts is because I have friends that live in the country where this mount is located. And you can go there. It's a touristic spot. You can climb. You can see everything that Moses saw before he died. So it's very interesting.
So can I ask a question about this?
Yes. Maybe I can give... Yeah, you can ask a question.
So is this mountain mentioned in Jude?
Oh.
Look, certainly, I do not know if it's mentioned in Jude by the name, but it's certainly mentioned because the event surrounding Moses' death, actually his resurrection, is mentioned in the book.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. That's what I was probably would have
believed. I'll give you a tip. This mount is located in modern-day Jordan.
Oh, that doesn't help me at all.
If that helps.
There you go.
And for listeners, if you want to look it up and send in the answer, we are fine with that. So Deuteronomy 34 Verse 1 is where you will find that answer.
But I'm so glad for Lawson's wrong answer, because it was going to open up a very interesting conversation too. I love it. That's so great, Lawson. And I'll tell something about your answer that you probably don't know.
Sweet. Hey, you're listening to The Breakfast Show here on Faith FM. And Scaffy, how are we being more like him? We've been exploring 1 Peter chapter 3.
We've been exploring 1 Peter chapter 3. And let me say this, Lawson. I try to live the messages that I share with you, radio friend, here on the radio. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do a gratitude in the beginning of the show today, but I actually wanted to do a gratitude. And it has to do with what we have been studying throughout the week.
Mm.
So, just for context, Wes, we've been talking about 1 Peter chapter 3. These are counsels from the Apostle Peter to women, but in particularly married women that are married with men that do not have God's word.
Okay.
And do not want to listen to God's word.
So unequally yoked.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm.
And Peter say, hey, this is how you might win them. Okay, you know, you don't preach to them. They're obviously not open to that preaching. But here's what you can do. You can submit yourselves to them, voluntarily respect their authority and their leadership, because ultimately God looks at men as the leaders of the family unit, number one. Number two, it says, so that you can respond with a spirit of gentleness and peace and quietness, which the Bible says, very precious in the sight of God. So it's basically saying, hey, by your behavior, you might win him. By your behavior, your husband might start thinking, hey, there's something supernatural and amazing about this God that I don't have, my wife has, I want it for me. Mm. And I and the burden to women that are married to unbelievers is greater than, of course, the women that are married to believers, because we are all humans. We all fail. We all have our moments. Mm. But when you are in a Christian household, well, if the Christian wife, you know, makes a mistake or loses her patience or something like that, well, maybe the grace that is in the heart of the husband can cover for that, and he will respond with patience and so on. But if we're talking about a household where the husband does not know yet the power of God in its fullness, that can be a little bit trickier. So what tends to happen is that if the wife, especially if that happens on a regular basis, if they were, let's say, if they are annoying to the husband, or if they are nagging or whatever it is, the husband tends to say, you know what? Is this what your God is all about? So we as Christians, we are all, God gets judged by how we as Christians live.
Yeah.
And this is especially true in a household, and even especially true in a household where you have one unbeliever and one believer. So this is why there, but the good news is that God gives this extra power. For women to be able to witness. And this is where my gratitude is, because one of the things that we said was, we, you know, I suggested that you pray a radical prayer. Say, God, give me situations where I can show to my husband a spirit of quietness and peace and gentleness that he would totally not be expecting at all. Give me opportunity to minister. And as I was driving yesterday to come to the studio, I prayed that prayer myself to God.
Okay.
Slightly different, but said, God, can you please give me an opportunity that I can be a blessing to my household, but in a way that they'll notice. I'm not going to promote it, but I want them to notice. I just say that. And I forgot about it. I forgot about it. I went about my day, went to work, had a Bible study with a friend. I came back home, and my home was quite upside down. My wife had cooked. We had a friend, an unexpected visitor. The sink was filled to the top with like super dirty, extra heavy duty dirty pots and pans, you name it.
It was like six dishes. And Staffy was like freaking out,
looking like a Chicago restaurant at the end of the day, and they had
Chicago restaurant.
That's right.
I love your description.
Does that mean anything? Chicago restaurant?
Not really, but now I'm going to start thinking that way.
Yeah, that's right. You know, like, so I said, you know what? I'm going to clean that up.
Wow.
And I cleaned that up, and then my kid's room was a mess because they were playing with her friend, and there was like clothes everywhere. Okay, we're going to fold that up. And then, so I was basically just seeing myself cleaning, and this was late at night. I'm supposed to be in bed at that time. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't feel like sleeping, and I felt like cleaning. And actually, when I finished all of that, my wife looked at me and she says, Joseph, are you all right? I mean, I love the fact that you were like, have such a gas to be cleaning the house, but like, are you sure you're feeling well? You're not sick. You don't have fever or anything like that. So, no, love. I'm feeling very, very well. I just pray to God that He will give me an opportunity to be a blessing to my house today. And I'm telling you, I'm not even feeling tired at all. But I'm going on the power of the Holy Spirit here.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. So I just want to say, be grateful, because we it's impossible for us to obey God on our own terms, on our own energy. But when we claim and we pray to God to help us to fulfill His word in our lives, guess what? He gives us a supernatural power and energy that enables us to fulfill His word.
Yeah. And just imagine if you wouldn't have responded to the opportunity, if you would have forgotten, if you would have got home and been like, oh, man, I don't want to do this. And you would have got all grouchy and grumpy. Just imagine God gave you the opportunity.
But I asked for it, right? I asked with an eager desire. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so God gave you the opportunity to fulfill the promise that He had given. Exactly. So it's just awesome.
And guess what? That experience can be ours every day.
And now you always have a job waiting for you in Chicago if you ever feel like you need to.
That's right. Yeah. Feeling like Chicago, visiting, seeing all these Chicago pizza places.
Yeah, you can go and do the dishes. So.
With the dirty trays full of tomato sauce and cheese everywhere.
I want to pick up one thing that you said there is that, you know, that we're called to have a love for people that we can't manifest on our own, that's only available to us through the power of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, we get into verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with the understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And, you know, giving this now responsibility to husbands to love and honor their wives. And it's like, okay, what is the standard then, you know, by which we're supposed to love and honor our wives? And, you know, it'd be Paul writing then over in Ephesians, where he's like, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Like, the standard then is incredibly high. Like, the level of honor and self-sacrifice and and love that we are to show for our wives and family is of the utmost, literally impossible.
Lawson, how long have you been married for?
2 months today, actually. It's our 2 months anniversary.
Congratulations, but you sound like someone that has been married for 20 years in your wisdom, my friend. Like, if you keep going on that one, you're going to have a very happy marriage. Because this is the question, you know, I saw women, Wes, saying, hey, so does God want me to submit to my husband for the eventual day, sometime, maybe, that he'll jump, you know, in front of a bullet for me?
Sure.
And in the meantime, I just have to cope with whatever. He's being lazy, he's being obnoxious. And now I said, no, Lawson just gave the biblical answer here. The sacrifice that God has invited, has called men to do for their wives, is a daily sacrifice. So there you go. I gave a challenging prayer for women yesterday. Today I'm going to give a challenging prayer for men.
Yeah.
So gentlemen, listen up. I think that the women are going to like what I am going to say now, but this is, listen up. Your challenging prayer is this: God, can you please give me today an opportunity to sacrifice of my time, of my emotions, of whatever it is, so that I can bless my wife today, and she that can feel that through me, she's being loved by Christ himself.
Wow. Dude, what is,
can we do, what, can we, can we prayer. Do that challenge?
Yeah.
Producer Shell is looking at me bewildered for some reason here. Producer Shell, tell me what's in your heart here. Cause I'm seeing your,
I'm just like, is my husband listening
right now? Yeah, bro. That's right. Hey, and if you're a wife listening right now and your husband isn't listening, the Faith FM, you know, app, the Breakfast Show podcast, you can jump on there. You can replay this for them, and teach them a thing or two, hopefully. But, yeah, powerful prayer, Scaffy. Yeah. And it's such a need. I think that one of the things we're actually, we were taught by, I believe by producer Shell and her husband Lyle, who did our marriage counseling before we got married.
Lucky you.
Which is such an incredible blessing. But ultimately, like, the biggest thing for us is like, man, you know, the love and the care and the kindness and the consistency to show up for each other is, it's supernatural. Like, to do it in the right way. And I think for myself and for my wife, we both come from broken families, and both of our families were broken. You know, we grew up with both of our parents together. Both of us, like, I was 17, she was 19 when our parents split up, and we saw that, and we can both say, like, man, our parents loved us and cared for us, but particularly my family not being believers, like, at some point, without that literal supernatural power of God keeping the marriage together, there will be something that will go wrong. There will be a bridge too far. There will be a step too much, and things will fall apart. Like, that's exactly what I've seen in my life. And I love my parents. They're amazing people. But hey, like, in divorce, you know, like, there's things that, like, as their kid, you know, I saw them do that you would never expect them to do. You'd never expect, oh man, this is the way that they would end up treating each other or whatever it may be. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to rag on my parents. I love my parents. My parents have blessed me immensely throughout my life. But at the same time, I can so clearly see, and for myself and my wife, Shanna, we're like, man, the only way we're getting through this is through the power of God, like, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us every day, convicting us of the things that we're doing wrong and inspiring us and enabling us to do the things right. That is the only way. So if you're sitting there this morning and, you know, I'm not here to give you guys marriage advice from experience, but I do know what the Bible says. And if you're sitting there this morning thinking, man, I just don't know if my partner is really showing up for me and giving me that love and care, you know, save this, you know, listen to the podcast or whatever it may be, and get inspired to say, hey, the only way our relationship is going to work is through the power of
God. Claiming the power of God. I love it.
Amen.
Very good. Let's give the answer to the quiz question. And again, radio friend, if you have any comments, what do you reckon about the power of God? Have you experienced the power of God in your life? Would you like to experience the power of God in your life? Or would you like us to pray so that you can experience the power of God? Let us know. Text us and we will pray for you. Producer Shell, what was the question again? One more time.
So the question was, which mountain did Moses ascend to view the promised land before he died? And the answer is Mount Nebo.
Mount Nebo. Mount Nebo. So the only reason that I know is because I have friends that lived in Jordan missionaries. And they say, we went up Mount Nebo and saw this and saw that.
So you had that reference to remember.
I had that reference.
I wrote Horeb, which is where they received the Ten Commandments.
That's right. Yeah. So Horeb, it took me years to connect the two, but Mount Horeb is the same place as Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Just different names, but the same location. Did you know that, Producer Shell? So Sinai.
Of course I knew that.
And Horeb are the same ones. So when, but I'll give you a revelation here.
Yeah.
Which you might not know before. When Moses was herding his sheep and walking around and he saw the bush taking on fire, where was that mountain? Mount Horeb. Mm. And when Moses asked God, hey, God, can you give me a sign? As if God hasn't given him enough supernatural signs by that time, by appearing as a fire that didn't consume the bush. God says, okay, if you want a sign that I'm going to do all these things for you, I'll give you this sign. The sign is you will come back with all the people of Israel to this very mountain so you can worship me.
Yeah.
That's the sign.
So congratulations to Fraser, Daphne, Janelle, and Val May, who all got that one correct.
Well done, friends.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Reminding everyone that you can catch up all of our content and all of Faith FM's incredible programming through the Faith FM app or through the podcast apps of your choice. Lawson, before we get into the new quiz question, I just want to remind that we have a book here, God for Us. Do you like the Gospel of John, Lawson?
Oh, do I like the Gospel of John? It's like, of course. It is a powerful, powerful book. I would say it's good to read. Like, the Gospel of John has its place as probably one of the most, I would say it's the most condensed in terms of the life of Jesus and the most in-depth in terms of the death of Jesus. And for that reason, like, if you're trying to understand his crucifixion, the events that happen around there, it is one of the best. And also, I think, one of John's great missions in writing the Gospel of John, being to prove that Jesus was the Son of God, was God himself coming down in the flesh, you know, to combat some of the Gnostic ideas of the day and whatnot. It's a powerful book.
So if you'd like to learn more about the Gospel of John in depth, chapter by chapter, understanding what is there in the Greek, what are the theological meanings of the various things that Jesus spoke, if this is something that you would like to, we have a special offer for you. You can get it free of charge, but only if you haven't claimed any other book this week, okay? We have to spread the love book, the book love around. So if you'd like to get a copy of the book, God for Us, According to John by James Gilley, you can do so by texting us to 0491-064-669. Save that number to your contact list and text us hashtag God for Us. And how are we going to deliver that book, Lawson?
Let's see. We are going to deliver it on one of those like skid machines that pick up wood, you know, after you chop it down. We're having a chat with Wes.
A skidder.
A skidder. Yeah. A skidder. So we're having a chat with Wes earlier. You're an arborist.
I'm a logger.
There's a difference. What's the difference between
so
arborist and logger?
A logger would be somebody who cuts wood and sells wood for a living, where an arborist would be somebody who goes and cuts trees out of yards and gets rid of maybe
branches.
Hazard trees and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I don't do tree service work in like people's yards. I go in the forest or the bush, you would say here, and I cut wood and then sell it to various mills. So,
all right. Well, we're going to chuck this book in the back of a skidder and we're going to head it to you. And if we can't find a skidder, then we'll just put it on the
Or if you can't find enough fuel to drive a skidder 20 kilometers an hour, what's the maximum speed that a skidder can go?
Well, we're going to be talking miles per hour, so yeah. It'd be like maybe mine would go maybe 12 or 13 miles per hour.
13 so miles like, per hour. Like so that's like 20 kilometers
yeah.
an hour.
Yeah.
So probably if you want to transport one of them, you need to attach it to the yeah, back of a
don't
truck.
Don't be on the road in Australia because you guys are in a rush. So
yeah. There we go.
You get irritated.
Producer Shell, do you have another quiz question for us?
Yes, I do indeed. Okay. Now, this one is a multi-choice, but let's see if you guys can do it without the multiple choice. I have a feeling you will be able to. What king's pride was tested by envoys from Babylon?
Oh, I know that one.
You want to repeat that one for us?
What
Lawson?
King's pride was tested by envoys from Babylon? I'm going to say this.
Yes, we've got two correct answers coming through
well
so far.
Done, Lawson of Lawson.
Okay, I have to say I made the quiz especially difficult today because my cousin Wes used to beat me in all trivias when we were kids. And so
so this is the payback time. Yeah. Payback
the
moment.
Payback to
all right,
us.
So Wes, what is the king whose pride was tested by envoys from Babylon? What's the name of that king?
So tell me what an envoy is.
Oh, like diplomat.
Like a diplomat.
Oh,
like
okay.
someone sent
okay.
from,
coming right. from Babylon. Do you want to give us the
multiple choice? It's a multiple
choices?
Choice. So let's yeah. run through it. So we have A, Uzziah.
Okay, A for Uzziah. Yep.
B, Hezekiah.
B for Hezekiah.
C for Jehoshaphat.
C for Jehoshaphat.
Or mm-hmm. D for Josiah.
D for Josiah. Okay.
So of those four... You just pick an
Michelle,
A,
Michelle, you're
B,
looking at me
C,
like I should
D.
know this.
You have, you have a 25%.
Yeah, just pick a letter.
I have a story. So I have a story about that, Hezekiah. Oh, that's a king when we come back.
Oh, man.
10 seconds back. Go 10 you seconds
stink,
back.
Bro. You stink. You're always giving away the answers with all your
this
stories.
Is twice.
It was
twice.
So accidentally.
And all your information.
It was so accidentally.
Oh, guys, well, I know
Wes, did you hear what I said?
Every king.
Wes didn't hear what I said.
That's right. So most likely the listeners
I feel like I'm not in on this joke.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. He said the first couple of syllables of the name of the king.
No, so. I was just coughing.
Yeah. Oh. Stop, bro. Stop. Stop. We're coughing into the mics on live radio here. Yeah. Hey, 0491-064-669 is
yeah,
the
everything
number
you shouldn't text. Do, we do here on this show.
Yes. You want to give those options one more time, producer Shell?
I will yeah. indeed. What king's pride was tested by envoys from Babylon? Was it A, Uzziah, B, Hezekiah, C, Jehoshaphat, or D, Josiah? We have three correct answers
yeah.
in the studio here.
There you go.
Yeah,
I'm
Jonella is sitting
help.
Next to me, so she can't play along because she's got the words on the mm-hmm. screen here.
Okay.
So, and she's probably like, "Yeah, I can't play. That's because of the answers there." But
hey, 0491-064-669. Just one more thing as well, guys. Hey, we've got the birthday draw coming up later in the month. If you want to win either Food is Medicine or Food is Medicine, Cooking to Prevent and Treat Diabetes, both of those books by Sue Rad, or From Plant to Plate, you will be incredibly blessed to receive them. You have to win the draw, and to get into that draw, your birthday has to be in May. So send your birthday in to 0491-064-669. You're listening to The Breakfast Show, and I want to ask you a question, Scaffy, and Wes, and guys behind the glass as well, our producers, Jonelle and Shell. What do you think is the best indicator, the best biological marker to see if someone is going to have long life? What do you guys think? The best indicator to prove if someone is going to have a long life?
Their strand of their DNA, the length?
I would say a heart, average heart rate.
Okay, average heart rate.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
So I don't know if this would be biological, so happiness. Yeah.
Happiness.
General happiness.
General happiness is a good one, I would say, as well. Okay, well, previously it was thought stuff like cholesterol and blood pressure and these kinds of things, particularly testing
this
on people who are older in life, you know, could give you an indicator of where they're at health-wise and how much time, you know, they would continue to live. But Joshua Davis, who is a researcher from the University of Derby in the UK, has said that, no, the best indicator to prove whether someone is going to live long is grip strength.
What?
Wow, really?
Grip strength, yeah. Grip strength. So basically,
I better start practicing it, otherwise I won't have too long.
I'm gonna die.
That's right. Right. So this is incredibly interesting. The reason they said this, they've done multiple studies and they've shown that stronger grip strength in midlife or, you know, at middle age is linked to higher chances to living to 100. And maybe a better predictor, of longevity than blood pressure. And this is because muscle mass is incredibly important the older you get, like in a general sense, right? And not being a bodybuilder and eating 17 steaks a day and taking steroids.
Are you telling me that these dudes that shake your hand and almost like break all of your hand bones, are they going to live to 100 or something?
Well, most of those guys live quite long, apparently. Because I can even think in my life of like those people who are like who are really fit in the middle age, you know, had good, like really naturally fit. Again, I'm not making, you know, a point of someone who's like, you know, taking Ozempic or taking steroids or that kind of thing. Like people who are naturally fit through doing, you know, quite a bit of exercise and whatnot. They all of them have like hard handshakes. I can remember my coach when I was a kid. His name was Paul, and this guy was like gray hair, but one of the fittest people I know. He's still racing. Like I grew up doing motorbike racing and racing at quite a high level. He is still racing at an Australian championship level in his 60s.
Wow.
He's cycling impressive. And doing all this stuff because he's super fit. But yeah, he focuses on, like, you could say that overall body strength is, you know, probably conducive to living a longer life. But they said the easiest way to test that overall body grip strength. You can go and buy a tennis ball and do, you know, do the tennis ball grip strength test. You know, how long can you hold on to a tennis ball up like this, and, you know, whether your muscles get weary and how, you know, how much can you squeeze the tennis ball in and how long can you squeeze it for? Like, these kinds of things can give you an indicator as to where you are on the
scale. Can you practice? Can you get better at grip strength?
So this is the thing, is that muscle mass is something that can be put on, and by, you know, with, you can practice your grip strength. You can, you know, go and go to the gym regularly and do push-ups and sit-ups and whatever it may be. But they're saying that muscle mass is incredibly important to longevity in life. Again, not being overly massive, but having something on you. It helps you with your immunity. It helps you with, you know, even as you get older into age and whatnot, and your bones get more fragile and you're at risk of falling over. And because it's like your bones ultimately protect everything else that's in your body. You're like, particularly your organs.
But then
and whatnot.
Your muscles protect your...
And then your muscles protect your bones, right?
And your skin protects
and your skin's
muscles.
Protects your muscles. And cool. So as you get older, all of those things wither. But if you can have a hand in, hey, if I'm regularly training my muscles to protect my body, you kind of give yourself a better chance of not having organ issues because your bones aren't broken because your muscles are strong, which is amazing too.
That's so good.
So
if you think about it, you think about somebody who is really active in their older age, somebody who's out gardening, somebody who's doing that kind of thing, they're going to have that grip strength.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's an indicator of lifestyle, probably.
Yeah.
That's true. You know? Particularly with gardening, I'm thinking here, when you're pruning plants and you're using those scissors, like, they require significant grip strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, weak grip strength is linked to faster biological aging, according to the University of Michigan. And they've seen this, you know, in numerous studies that they've done. And look, at the end of the day, whilst grip strength won't prevent, like, disease, you know, you could still, like, get some disease or some issue or have some problem. Yeah, it's an accessible health marker to help you to understand your overall health. And I thought, you know, of course I would make some kind of spiritual application from this. This is The Breakfast Show, after all. You know, I love the classic verse in Proverbs. You know Proverbs 20:29?
No, tell me.
Oh, dude, it's the classic. The glory of young men is in their strength. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. And this is a proverb regarding wisdom ultimately. Mm. That with, you know, as you age, you become more wise, and in your gray hairs, you're seen as someone that is wise in mind. But it says here, you know, the glory of the young man is in their strength. Hey, if you're coming into older age,
if you can have
purpose
both.
To have both. Purpose
have both.
To say, hey, I'm gonna have the glory of the young man and the glory of the old man, and you'll impress yourself if you know if you're consistently getting active, you will impress yourself on how much you can gain in your fitness.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Lawson,
yeah,
habemus papam. Do you know what that is? I said that to producer Shell this morning, and she looked at me and said, like, Scafia, are you all right? Like, you know, you have something.
Having a stroke.
I'm speaking Latin, producer Shell.
Yeah. Hey, we got a new pope.
We have a new pope. So we had this, the white smoke just came through, and the new pope is Robert Prevost. He is the first American pope ever. He was born in Chicago. And hence my inspiration to talk about restaurants in Chicago earlier in the show. He is 69 years old. He was born in 1955, but he's actually a dual citizen. He's not only American, he's also Peruvian.
Okay. Oh. I was going to say, is he a dual citizen to the Vatican? But
no, but no. He's Peruvian, American. He's American and Peruvian.
So
because
that's where his parents are from.
No, they're not from. His parents are, they were born in the U.S. They're descendants of, Spanish, French, and Italian. That's his family background. Mm. But he moved, earlier on in his career, as a priest to Peru to minister over there, and he lived there for many years.
His citizenship there.
That's right. Mm. He got his citizenship there. So the Vatican is describing him as they didn't want to say the first American pope. They said this is the second pope from the Americas. That's how the marketing department is choosing to announce him back at the Vatican.
Really?
So yes, of course, and of course the first thing that when they say "Habemus Papam" and they continue that phrase in Latin and they say what shall you be called? Mm. The first thing is the name, and they have to choose a name there on the spot. And I'm going to tell you the name that he took, but before that, I want to ask you one interesting question. What is one name that has not been taken by any pope?
Jesus.
Yes, that's one name, but that's not what I'm... Yeah, but there's one name that no pope takes is that of Peter.
Really?
Yes, you haven't had any Peter the Second. Peter is they say it's a sacred name for the Pope. They cannot use it, so it has to remain only with the original. So whilst out there, Peter is a very popular name among boys and men of all ages, has always been a very popular name. It's forbidden among popes. They have that, you know, nobody can choose the name Peter. Mm-hmm. So there's no Peter the Second. So do you know how popes choose their names? Lawson, do you have any guesses? And Wes,
like, I don't have any idea.
What's the process of choosing the names?
I have no idea. Nah.
Okay. So they usually choose the names based on a pope that they admire from the past. This is why you have so many, you know,
the seconds
and 16s, like Benedict 16.
Okay.
Yeah, Benedict 16, for example, he chose that name over a Benedict the 15th, and Benedict 15th was a pope during World War I who was a big promoter of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. And then they often talks about the direction that they want their office to go for, their leadership, their ministry towards the Catholic Church. So, for example, you have John Paul II. John Paul II was an interesting story about choosing papal names because it was a conjunction of two former popes that he admired a lot. It was Pope John the 23rd and Pope Paul the 6th.
Okay.
So he said, you know what, I really like these two popes. I'm going to call myself John Paul. This is why he was only the second. There was not a lot of them. Mm. And of course, Pope Francis was Francis the First,
because nobody had, there was no other pope that took on the name Francis, and because it was from Saint Francis of Assisi. You know, it was about, you know, nature. He had a big encyclica about nature, the Laudato Si encyclica, which was a papal writing about the theology of nature and rest and Sunday rest and all of that. So care for the poor and marginalized people, all of that, all those things came from, inspired, you can see that in Pope Francis's term as a pope. So the question is, what is, who knows the new name of the current pope?
It is everybody? Leo the 14th.
Leo the 14th.
Leo.
And we haven't had, look, let me just say this. I think that of all papal names that can be chosen, I kind of like Leo a lot because Leo means lion.
Yeah.
In Latin. He just thinks it's just a cool name. But we haven't had a Pope Leo in 120 years.
Why is that?
Well, you know, because they chose older names. However, it's interesting to, when you think about who was Leo the 13th and what did he do? Because if we look into that, maybe that can give us an idea
of why,
of what to expect.
Why he's choosing that name.
That's right, from Leo 14th. So Leo the 13th was a very theological pope, similar to kind of Pope Benedict, but very theological, but very pastoral in the application of theology. So Leo the 13th, he released an encyclica which was considered to be probably one of the most influential modern encyclicas of our time, called Rerum Novarum. So if you look into Catholic theology, this Rerum Novarum is like a core document, and it's basically the Latin name for new things. And the context, that was published in the late 1800s, 1890 thereabouts. And the context was, you had the Industrial Revolution, you have the nations becoming wealthy, and you also had a problem with workers, because workers are working long hours, being underpaid, and being really explored. So, and you had at the same time the rise of Marxism and socialism, communism. And Pope Leo the 13th came to address both issues. He wanted to address this unregulated, savage capitalism in one hand, and in the other hand, he was also against socialism, communism. So he came up with this encyclica, which was a theology of work. And he basically says, look, workers are not to be explored, they are to be respected. They have a dignity to them. If nations become wealthy, they become wealthy thanks to the work of workers. So they need to be treated well and fairly. And at the same time, workers and everyone are entitled. They have, everybody has a natural God-given right to own private property. So he, in his encyclica, he was trying to address the big social problems of his time, but finding like a middle way, a balance there.
That is an incredibly middle way, because it's like on one hand you've got, you know, the Marxism of the time was like, yes, pro workers, you know, people who are working in production, but then no one should have individual land rights and all everything should be owned by the state, whereas he's doing he walked a real middle of the road.
That's right, middle of the road. So he proposed what has been known as moral capitalism. So moral capitalism is something between unregulated markets and state socialism. So it's kind of that middle way. He also advocated for the right of men to form unions to defend the rights. So that is an interesting thing. And he utterly rejected socialism. He says the main tenet of socialism must be utterly rejected. So what can we expect? We don't know. Well, as far as his political position is concerned, he was one of the cardinals, one of the 80% of the cardinals that has been selected into office by Pope Francis. So he's being regarded as someone that is going to continue Pope Francis's ideology, but kind of bringing it back a little bit more to our conservative Catholic traditional views.
Yeah, he's actually the first Augustinian friar to be elected pontiff. So he went to Villanova, which is a Catholic institution that is like built on. They're like, yes, we follow the teachings of St. Augustine, who was a famous theologian from the 4th
century. Very famous, big
maybe
theologian.
One of the most influential.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, this is kind of... indicating some change.
That's right. What do you guys think? What do you guys think what we can expect? And I actually want to ask you this as well, listening friend. What do you expect of Pope Leo the 14th as far as his leadership goes, as far as his reform goal? Give us your guesses, you know? Give us your ideas here. We want to know what you think this Pope will be doing. As far as, you know, is he, you know, the first question that I think that everybody's asking, particularly because he is American, is like, is he pro-Trump or is he against Trump? And it looks like he does follow a little bit more of the line of Pope Francis.
Yeah.
So he did criticize J.D. Vance on social media when J.D. Vance came up with, remember that we talked about Lawson in the other show about how J.D. Vance and Pope Francis, sorry, J.D. Vance, J.D. Vance and Pope Francis had a disagreement theologically because J.D. Vance was saying, was using a Catholic term to talk about, you know, why America should look after their own and not after other people, called the order of love. Pope Leo XIV, not then, Robert Prevost criticized that. And he appeared to be have a very pro instance or a favorable instance about, you know, immigration and and so on.
If anything, this kind of looks like this is interesting to say, but maybe this is like the Joe Biden Pope. This guy is like a Catholic who went to Catholic university, is, you know, like, you know, from the eastern side of it. Well, Chicago is Midwest, but, you know, kind of around that area. So like, you know, in a not very far away from Delaware and these kinds of places. Like, this guy is like the Joe Biden Pope. And I don't know much about him, but in terms of like,
so do you think he's going to clash with Trump?
Well, it was definitely Trump did endorse somebody, but it wasn't this guy.
Yeah.
So it's not who he endorsed. So I don't know if he's a little bit hot under the collar because he thinks that he has the right to endorse somebody and that's going to be put into place.
I haven't
seen his response really. I think he's said something about this new pope, if I'm correct, but. So he's being very cordial at this point.
Yeah.
Yes. Very following the protocols. And, one of the things about the name Leo, 14th, Leo being the Latin for lion, is that it conveys the idea of courage, of standing up, of not being intimidated. And that I think it's quite interesting, you know, when you take into account, like, you know, Donald Trump and his approach to international politics, and you're having someone that says, look, I am a lion. Like, I have a lion-like heart.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's very interesting. So these are some of the information that I could dig out about Pope Leo the 14th.
So Trump is saying that it's a great honor to have an American pope.
Okay.
This is the reaction so far.
Okay.
So.
Very good.
Hey, the answer to the quiz was, of course, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the guy, you know, the delegates from Babylon showed up. He's like, hey, look at all our stuff. And then they got invaded.
Thanks
for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.
Come back here when you need some money.